because of it being August, I think, mostly. You know, people, if they haven't gone on vacation yet, they get busy and go on vacation about now. So, okay. Well, but we do, as you just heard, we record these. And so they become available usually, you know, 4 or 5 days later, certainly by the beginning of next week, I would say. And then we try to promote people hearing, you know, the call if they missed it. And I think that it fairly much happens. So it's very good to have it recorded. Hello, who's there?
Chuck Altman from Detroit.
Oh, hi.
Hi,
Chuck. Chuck comes on every time. Great. And a couple others?
Hi, all. Dr. Bill, California.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
Hi.
Who else? I think there might have been another one. Somebody else Scott, on the test.
Scott Taylor from McKinney, Texas.
Is it Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, Texas. Very good.
Paxton Robinson from Orlando, Florida.
Okay. Austin Robinson?
Paxton with a P as in Paul or Peter.
Paxton, yes, I got your registration. That's right.
Hi there.
From Orlando. Very good. All right, I asked Rich Gardner, who's the tech person and who does the recording, if he would talk us through getting on the chat room, because you may want to direct a question to the speaker, Leah Bolger, sort of while she's talking, so that then, or you can just wait until we ask for questions and comments. But I do have another reason for getting you on, and which will come clear in a minute. So, Rich, could you, if you're before your computer, you should be on the Progressive Democrats of America website. So, Rich.
Okay. If you go to pdacommunity.org. There's the category called Issues, and then our category, which is End War and Occupation. And if you go about a quarter of the way down the screen, you'll see End Wars and Occupation chat room. You can sign in via Facebook or Twitter or some other method. Virginia and I are on there now. Our little pictures are popping up.
All right.
Let's get you on there.
Is that clear to people, or is that, if it's unclear, could you speak up and tell us?
Yeah, your voice is really fading and breaking out.
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not good. So did you, if you wanted to get on chat room, were you able to do that?
No.
Okay. So Rich has a more speedy way than I use. So he tells you to do, you know, start with pdacommunity.org as your entrance into it. And then, Rich, the next step is, please say it again.
Try to get to PDA Community. Let's see. I'm trying to get back to the beginning here so I can find that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, PDA. The second word over on the menu is Issues.
Robin Horton,
so
Washington.
To End Wars and Occupation. There's a helicopter against the darkening sky background. There's our two leaders on there. There's a short note on agenda. And underneath the agenda is our chat room. Got a whole bunch of folks on there.
Good. And in a minute, Rich is going to put up an email address of Mike Fox. And I'm going to speak to that right now, and then I'm going to give this to Virginia and our speaker, Leah Bolger. So just above the chat room is a big blue band that says donate. So we do need people that are active in PDA to donate to PDA. There's a program called the Sustainers. If you punch that button, maybe sometime during the call, or maybe you'd prefer to do it later because you want to hear Leah Bolger and you want to participate, and that's good. So we've tried to make it a little bit easier. But, you know, for PDA to be a vital organization, there are certain paid staff members, and there are certain other kinds of things, such as helping to pay the travel of Medea Benjamin as she goes around the country. The Miami chapter would, or the Tampa chapter would like to help Medea Benjamin with her travel expenses, which and because she's going around the country talking about drones and her book about drones. So I just want to point. I will probably interrupt at some other time, at say 20 of 10 Eastern, and say this donation thing again. But right now it's enough already. And we could pick up, there may be three people that have come on the call that haven't said their name.
I'm Nancy.
I'm Nichols, Cape Cod.
Hello?
I'm John Nichols, Cape Cod.
John Nichols, Cape Cod.
And Mary Ladke.
Hi, Mary Ladke.
Hi.
I'm Nancy Wren from Boston.
Nancy Wren?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm going to stop talking. And Virginia, please.
All right. First, I'd like to remind everybody to please hit star 6 to mute your phone. And after Leah has spoken, we'll ask for questions, or you can ask a question on the chat room, and one of the team will ask that question for you. So Leah joined the Navy in March of 1980 and retired in the summer of 2000 as a commander. She served all over the world, including tours in Iceland, Bermuda, Japan, and Tunisia. After moving to Corvallis, she served as the Corvallis AFC chapter president for 3 years, and in 2009 she was elected to the National Board of Directors of Veterans for Peace and served as the national vice president until 2012, when she was reelected to her second term on the board and to the office of national president. I've had the pleasure of meeting Leah in person in Washington, D.C., and we would like to welcome her just home from her from the VFP National Convention in Florida. Leah, welcome to our call.
Well, thank you so much, Virginia, for inviting me to be on your call. And I'm looking at your website now, and I see all this advertisement you did for our convention and really promoting us. And I thank you so much for that. That's really great. Let me ask you, I know the things that you wanted me to talk about. How much time would you like for me to speak?
We'd like you to take 10 to 15 minutes if you'd like that long, and then whenever you're done, we'll open it up for questions.
Okay, all right. I didn't want to go on and on. Sometimes people do, and I didn't want to be accused of that. Okay, well, as I said, or as Virginia said, I did just get home the other night, and I'm still a little jet lagged. It was a lot of stuff crammed into a few days, but it really was an outstanding convention, I think, if I do say so myself. The theme this year, as you know, was Liberating the Americas, Lessons from Latin America and the Caribbean. Every year, Veterans for Peace has an annual convention, and we move it around to different parts of the country
not just to focus on geographic areas like we did this year, but, you know, to make it easy for our members to get to the convention, and that, you know, it's accessible. It's not the, you know, it's not really far every year for everybody. Our organization was created in 1985 in Maine, and so the first chapter is in Brunswick, Maine, and now it's in Portland, Maine, and now it and then it's spread. We now have about 150 chapters all over the country, and so it we move it around every year. Next year it would be in Madison, Wisconsin, the heart of the Solidarity and Occupy and labor rights movement, and we're really excited about that. And the year after that, in 2014, it would be in Asheville, North Carolina. So we move it around, and we try to get a good crowd to come, and not just VFP members. You know, we try to advertise. We had a number of PDA folks join us this time. Sandy Davies gave an excellent workshop with David Swanson that I attended, which I thought was outstanding. And so we really want to work. I also work with PDA on the weekly as part of the New Priorities Network. Every Friday we have a meeting, and Tim's not always on the call, but Andrea or somebody usually makes it from PDA, and we talk about prioritizing our budget, our federal budget. So PDA and even though Veterans for Peace doesn't support any political party, we do support the P part of the PDA fully, and we always want to work with people who we agree with ideologically as well. So what happened at the convention? We had a number of really wonderful speakers. The convention kicked off on Wednesday night with Phil Donahue, who not only is, you know, very famous as a TV talk show host, but has also been a longtime activist and progressive voice. He hosted a showing of a film that he produced called Body of War, which is a documentary about the life of Thomas Young, who was in Iraq for less than a week before he was permanently disabled and is paralyzed from the chest down. So the story is about his return to the United States and what his life is like as a permanently disabled veteran. Very powerful and moving story. So Phil answered questions, and it was a big hit, as I'm sure you can imagine. Then the next day is when we had the opening plenaries. We had several speakers from different parts of Latin America and the Caribbean, from Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, Haiti. I think a feature of Thursday was a recorded message that we had from Ricardo Alarcón, who is the president of the Cuban Assembly and considered the third most powerful person in Cuba. And he, in his recorded message, he said, and I'm quoting now, Alarcón called VFP an organization that has played and continues to play a very important role in promoting peace and understanding among people, an organization that has also been traditionally in solidarity with my people and people in Latin America and the Caribbean, and for that we are thankful and take the opportunity to salute you. We also, Veterans for Peace is in support of lifting the economic embargo on Cuba and normalizing relationships with Cuba. So that was really wonderful that he said those kind words about our organization. We're quite thrilled about that. The other notable speakers, Adia Benjamin spoke twice. She gave a workshop with Ann Wright about drones, and which is a high-priority topic for Veterans for Peace. As you know, I heard you talking about fundraising for her and her tour. She and VFP member Colonel Ann Wright are planning a delegation to go to Pakistan around the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st. And I am looking hard at trying to find a way to go along with them. But the point is to be a humanitarian mission to go to Pakistan to
to learn firsthand what the people, how the people are impacted by the drones that we have dropped on their country, and to try to foster goodwill and let them know that the United States, the people of the United States, don't support the horrific use of drones in their country. And there are some people who are you know, really, really trying hard to end this despicable practice. So Medea spoke. She also spoke on Friday evening at a gathering we had in the evening. Our main keynote speakers were at the banquet on Saturday night, and that was Father Roy Bourgeois, who was the founder of the School of America's Watch, and he discussed SOAW as well as a bit of trouble that he got into with the Vatican when he came out in support of women priesthood, and that he was threatened with excommunication and very, very draconian measures against his belief that women should have equal access to priesthood. And then our main speaker was Alice Walker, the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, author, and I found out, activist, long-time activist. She worked with Martin Luther King and has been a long-time civil rights and human rights activist. Alice read a poem that she wrote especially for our convention, and she spoke for some time and just very, very powerful words about suicide, and it was quite powerful. And we have recorded all of these people's remarks, which will be posted to our website soon, so that if you weren't able to be there, that you can hear these words that are so mighty. Now, right now, Alice Walker, along with Anne Wright and a number of other Veterans for Peace members, are in Haiti. They are doing a week-long kind of backbiting delegation to see how the people of Haiti are faring after the natural disaster problems they had, and then the UN and military efforts to help them, which may have hurt them more with disease spreading and tainted water and that kind of thing. But we have people there, 15 people there on a delegation, and they will be in Haiti for a week. And we're very interested in hearing their report back, which we will certainly also be posting on our website. We had workshops on, which many of workshops focused on the region, as I mentioned. But we also had workshops on drones, Iran, the one I mentioned on U.S. militarism that Sandy and David gave. We talked about military sexual trauma, cluster bombs, you know, various things that are always a problem. There was an emphasis on, we had a special plenary on GI resistance and international work to help support GI resistors around the world. Veterans for Peace has just formed an affiliate group in the UK and they are composed almost primarily of GI resistors, British GI resistors who refused to go continue to fight in Iraq and or Afghanistan. And so we are trying to work with these fellow resistors and in support of resistance to the U.S. and NATO wars of aggression. And I'm going to sneeze, I think. I picked up a cold. I'm going to sneeze. Hang on a minute. Sorry about that. I was fine the whole time. And then yesterday I got a cold. So anyway, let's see, where was I? GI resistance. So there is a group, March Forward, which is headed by Iraq vet Michael Preisner, who is also a member of Veterans for Peace, have a new program called Our Lives, Our Rights, and you may have seen this on Facebook, but they've recently launched this project, Our Lives, Our Rights, to support active duty soldiers who wish to resist, and we are jumping all over that. Also, Michael Preisner is a candidate for the Veterans for Peace Board of Directors, and I certainly hope he'll be elected and will be joining us. It's kind of a problem. Our demographic, if you know very many VFP members, they're probably 60-ish or more, and so we are very thrilled when we can get some younger Iraq and Afghanistan vets to join our group. So having Michael on board is really wonderful. We changed the process for our voting procedures. In the past, the people at the convention voted on changes to bylaws and changes to resolutions, changes to bylaws and on resolutions. And this worked well when VFP was a small organization and most everybody could make it to the convention. But as I said, you know, we're spread out now all over the world. And so what we've done is change our bylaws to allow voting on bylaws and resolutions to be outside of the convention and will be done in conjunction with our voting for board of directors. So we did present and discuss and debate a number of resolutions, and we recommended or approval or disapproval. However, the real vote on those things will happen later this fall when all of our membership will be allowed to vote. So I can tell you what, you know, a few of the resolutions that we recommended approval of, which are I think, powerful resolutions, and I'm certain it will pass very easily when the whole membership votes. We recommended approval of resolutions granting amnesty for all GI resistors for Bradley Manning should he be convicted after his court date. We recommended approval for a resolution calling to halt the sale of cluster munitions to South Korea. We are already on record as opposing cluster munitions as well as landmines and depleted uranium weapons because we know that they are in violation of the Geneva Convention. But this resolution was about a specific sale that is pending to South Korea. We recommended a passage of a resolution abolishing the selective service system, calling for an end to the war on drugs and legalization of marijuana. We feel that the, quote, war on drugs is simply a shallow excuse for the United States to intervene militarily into other countries. We called for the lifting of the embargo on Cuba and the lifting of sanctions on Iran. And let's see. I just got over the list of notes I made pretty quickly. I guess it might be the best way to just open it up to questions and then and go from there. Well, one thing we did talk about, and you've probably seen a lot in the news, is hang on a second. Now, I'm going to mute because I have to blow my nose, and I know nobody wants to hear that, so hang on a second. Okay, I'm back. There's a new television show that was heavily promoted during the Olympics called Stars Earn Stripes, and I'm sure you probably heard about it. It debuted yesterday, and there has been a big outcry of opposition against this absurd show that portrays war and fighting as a game and has, quote, celebrity contestants such as Todd Palin and Layla Ali, and it's really so insulting, and just belittles the real truth of war. The show is hosted by General Wesley Clark, and it's just abominable to me. Somebody who knows better, who certainly knows that war is not played by contestants, and he understands the real seriousness and the truth of war. Yet he is a party to this really blatantly insulting awful show. So there is also a letter written by several Nobel laureates in opposition to this program, and there were a lot of protests outside the NBC building in New York City yesterday, I understand, and I think people will continue to protest this show and its creators as long as it's on the air. So that was another thing we talked about. So I probably didn't take up 15 minutes, but I think it's maybe more interesting to take questions and have maybe a discussion. So
Virginia, if you want to.
I have a question. Will Veterans for Peace have a presence at both presidential conventions, do you know?
Yes, well, I'm glad you brought that up. One of the speakers on the Friday night event, or two of them, we had two young folks from the RNC, March on the RNC, come and speak to us and promote the protests that will be happening in Tampa. And we are Veterans for Peace is already on record as supporting both the March on the RNC and the March on Wall Street South in Charlotte. Now, how many people, we have people who are our liaison folks on the ground in both cities and who have been attending planning meetings and all that. How many people we actually get to both places may be not as big as we would like. We're certainly encouraging people to go there. There's been a good bit of debate on the VFP listservs about whether this is a waste of time or not, or if you're only going to go to one, which one should you go to? And my feeling is there's going to be protest at both events, and there's going to be a lot of media at both events. And so this is a great opportunity to seek out media wearing VFP gear and say, look, I'm a member of this organization, Veterans for Peace, and both, you know, this party is foments war. And so it just is a great platform to be seen. And the media sometimes seeks out the voice of the veterans, especially about issues of war. So I think it's not, you know, Veterans for Peace doesn't endorse or support any candidate or party. We see the two-party system as a huge part of the problem. But I don't think we would be there so much to oppose the Republican Party as to oppose the policies of war, warmongering, violation of international law, and so forth. So I think there will be Veterans for Peace members at both events. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make both of them or either of them. I'm working on some other issues. Like I said, I'm hoping to go to Pakistan, and I just got back from Florida, so it's a matter of travel, money, and just timing about whether I can make it. But we're encouraging them. We're encouraging everybody to show up. If that's where the media is, that's where we need to be.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. Glad to hear that. I personally will not be at either one, but I will be certainly supporting people that are going. And I hope you have a big turnout of not just Veterans for Peace, but the whole peace community out there to oppose war, definitely to both parties. Also, another question I have for you, Leah, is about your court case. I know you spoke up in front of the super committee, and can you tell us how that ended up?
Sure, yeah. I'm happy to talk about that. Yes, I spoke up in October during the super committee, the last public hearing that they held. I was arrested. I was charged with disruption of Congress, and which has a maximum of 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. And because the penalty is that, one is offered the right to a jury trial. So I said I wanted a jury trial, and the day came, and we got closer and closer to the date. The government really did not want to go through a jury trial on this, especially since I said I was going pro se, and the government does not like to prosecute pro se defendants because there are so many things that might go wrong if I were found guilty that I could contest, and it's kind of a lose-lose. Even if they find me guilty, it could turn into a big mess for the government. So they really did not want a jury trial. So I had some, I guess, leverage, I guess, as far as where we went to say that I forgot to mention, I had two charges because the week before I disrupted the super committee, I disrupted Congressman Buck McKeon's Armed Services Committee, House Armed Services Committee hearing that Leon Panetta and Robert Gates were at, where he was
before the hearings even started, before either witness had uttered a word, Buck McKeon is telling them, "Don't worry, you know, we're not going to reduce the defense budget," and you know, this is, it was just this such a shallow, superficial, you know, kind of wink and a nod to, well, we have to have these hearings, but don't you worry, you know, we're going to fully fund our brave troops to keep us safe from the horrible terrorists. And so I interrupted that. So I had two charges pending for the same offense. So my idea originally was to go ahead and go with the jury trial. And I thought, you know, there are 12 people in a jury, and all I have to do is convince one of them that I was not guilty, and I could hope for a hung jury and not be found guilty. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized that really wasn't the way I wanted to go. The purpose of a jury is to weigh the evidence presented and to determine whether the accused has, whether the government has met the burden of proof, or whether the accused did indeed commit the crime for which he or she is charged. Well, I willingly admitted that I disrupted Congress. In fact, I wanted that video to be played that's on C-SPAN, and that would have been, you know, that would have been the whole purpose of, for me to have, I wanted to be heard. So there was a chance that, well, let me back up. So given that is the jury's responsibility to hear evidence, make a decision, and given that I readily admitted that what I did, it was really, it would have been a huge waste of time and money and effort to have a jury trial. And I really didn't, you know, I didn't want to say that, you know, people had to find babysitters for their children and take off work and whatever to come sit and decide something that I readily admitted. I mean, it just seemed kind of a waste of time, money, and effort. So my lawyer advisor and I talked about this, and we decided that I would plead guilty. They would drop one of the charges, the one in the House Service Committee was dropped. I pled guilty. And what I did was use the hearing that at which I was going to plead guilty as an opportunity to really speak up and to advertise widely the videotape of interruption. And Ben Cohen made a video in support of me, and Ralph Nader made some comments and put on press release. And I got a lot more attention to the crimes and the problems of the super committee, I believe, doing it that way. So I went to the hearings where I pled guilty. I was sentenced. I told the judge that I did not want to do, I did not want to pay a fine. I refused to pay a fine because I didn't think that a citizen should have to pay to have access to Congress, and, which, in fact, I was the only citizen who was heard before the super committee, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't invited, but I was the only one, and I didn't think I should have to pay money for that. So I told him I wouldn't pay a fine, and I also told him that I really didn't think it would be appropriate to give me a penalty or a punishment of community service, because what I did, I felt, was an act of community service. So the prosecution, the government asked for, they did not ask for jail time, but they did ask for a large fine, and they asked for a good bit of community service. But the important thing that the government asked for, that this is notable, I believe, is the government asked for a stay-away order from all of Capitol Hill. And a stay-away order is pretty much routine when you've been arrested on Capitol Hill. But this was going to be part of the punishment of my sentence. And the judge, when he gave the sentence, he did not agree to the stay-away order. I have no stay-away order at all. He did sentence me to 60 days in jail, but he suspended all of it. He gave me 1 year probation, or no, excuse me, 9 months probation, which expires January, middle of January next year. And he did not give me any fine at all. I was assessed a $50 victim of violent crime assessment, which is not, which is given to everyone who pleads guilty, and it's not considered a fine. So I felt like the judge was sympathetic to me by not giving me a fine and not imposing the stay-away order. So right now, I did my community service that following weekend while I was still in D.C. Veterans for Peace was having a board meeting in D.C., and so the 20 hours I was given, I fulfilled by chairing the VFP board meeting that weekend. And I paid my $50, and so now I am on unsupervised probation until middle of January, and that's it. If I should get arrested again before January, then there is a possibility that I would be subpoenaed to return and have a hearing in front of the judge, and he would hear debate about whether he should go ahead and impose any or all of those 60 days jail time. So I did go ahead and participate in actions in Chicago at the NATO summit, and I was not arrested, so I don't know what would have happened had I been arrested. But I have been telling people that I'm not going to be intimidated and afraid of possible jail time and sit at home and wring my hands about what's going on in the world. I will continue to speak out and possibly be arrested. We'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. So that's where we are.
Well, thank you so much. You were definitely speaking for me when you were up there and for all of our PD community. And that's kind of a good segue into the NATO protest led, and the whole NATO convention led to PDA having to take a stand on Amnesty International's statement. Sally or Sandy, would you like to speak to that issue?
This is Sandy's.
Yeah, okay, sure, I can talk about that. yeah, and I just want to say I had a great time at the Veterans for Peace convention. It was almost overwhelming some of the time because there were just so many people doing such incredible work, but really dealing with such serious issues too. And but it was really great. So I think any of you that go to the PDA community website can see right on the front page now we have a statement, and this statement is essentially the same as the one that we have sent to the executive director and board members of Amnesty International USA. And what this is about is that during the NATO summit in Chicago, while PDA, Vets for Peace, and our partners in the anti-war movement were in the streets protesting NATO and the war in Afghanistan, Amnesty International USA hosted what they called a shadow conference, talking about women in Afghanistan, but in a very problematic way. They had Madeleine Albright as one of the main speakers at their shadow summit. And they also took out bus shelter ads all over Chicago with the slogan, NATO, keep the progress going. The ads pictured women wearing burqas, so the implication here was that the presence of NATO troops is, in fact, protecting the civil and human rights of women in Afghanistan. So we feel like this is all pretty outrageous. And so Mark Levin, who's part of this End War and Occupations team and who has worked in international development for more than 20 years, drafted a little report on the actual status of women under NATO occupation in Afghanistan to kind of contrast with the position of of amnesty. And so we sent that last week to Amnesty. We have not heard anything back yet. And basically we just called on Amnesty to publicly admit that it was simply wrong on the facts surrounding the status of women in Afghanistan under NATO occupation, suffering as of the last figures available, about 1,000 night raids a month and about 500 airstrikes a month. That's as of a little over a year ago. And for it to acknowledge that its sloganeering for NATO were really just horribly misguided. And I think Code Pink did a little campaign on this, actually calling for Suzanne Nozell to step down as the executive director. And this is really very, very worrying, because Suzanne Nozell is a former U.S. State Department official. And so it really raises the question as to whether, you know, what's really been the prime human rights organization in the world has now been to some extent captured by U.S. government interests. And I mean, clearly, you know, none of us can afford, whether we're Amnesty International members or not, to see Amnesty being, going light on the U.S. government and becoming in any way an accomplice in war and occupation and including war crimes and human rights violations. So, so we're trying as PDA, the letter we sent was signed by Tim Carpenter. This is PDA trying to take a strong stand on this. I've been in touch with David Swanson about this, and we are considering some kind of action alert to PDA members and to, Roots, I think it's Roots Action that David works with, and you know, maybe VFP would even like to join us too on, you know, some sort of action alert campaign, to just turn up the heat a little bit on Amnesty over this and try and get some kind of response. The statements they have issued so far in response to complaints about what they did in Chicago have so far really been unapologetic and really claiming that people are distorting what they did. And so I don't know. I guess I'd be interested in any feedback from anyone else on the call about this. You know, Amnesty is still doing amazing work on other things. If you look at their drone campaign on their website, which has an action alert with a letter to send to Secretary Panetta and other people, really, you know, just saying everything that should be said about that. So, you know, this is not a generalized attack on Amnesty International. It's just to really hold their feet to the fire over the what I think was a serious mistake they made in Chicago. So if I, you know, really like to hear anything anyone else has to say about that.
Well, please read the front page of PDA Community. That is our response to Amnesty, and have that conversation with your local Amnesty International organizations if you are involved in it. Like Sandy said, we're not saying we don't need them. We need them. We work with them on other issues. But on that one, we were just appalled at what they said about women's lives being better when we're at war. It makes no sense. So, Sally, would you like to tell us a little bit about the Lieutenant Colonel Danny Davis's college visit to Ohio?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Am I muted or unmuted? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
She said yes.
Trouble with Star 6. Okay. This is Sally, and before I say anything else, I'm going to take us back to donating to PDA. If you're not yet on the chat room and that all that didn't work, up of course, on the if you go to the main website of PDA, you're going to certainly see a donate button, as you do in all organizations. And I can't say enough that with more money, PDA could be more effective. And I should have before said that we at least sent one or two people, at least with partial scholarship, to the Veterans for Peace conference. And we'd like to be able to do more of that sort of thing. So if there's one person's name in the whole country I'd like to implant in all peace and justice people's heads, it would be Lieutenant Colonel Danny Davis, because he is a whistleblower about the war in Afghanistan. And he says in one portion of his Democracy Now! Interview, which is just about the only words of his that are out in public, and that's, it's out in public if it's on Democracy Now!, but it's not widely out in public. He just says for me, he'd like the war to end before the next fighting season next summer. And he substantiates why that should happen. Now, this is an Army active officer. And he's saying that. And it just boggles the mind that Congress has not had him with hearings, maybe with rebuttal hearings, too, from Panetta or someone else, but his Congress did not rise to the occasion. He came out as a whistleblower, and they just dropped it. And unfortunately, so did the media. And so Colonel Davis, I think, searched around in his head, what else can I do? And he said, I will make myself available to colleges across the country. Well, the Army's keeping a pretty much the brakes on that, too, but he will, in the middle of October, be in Ohio for 2 days at two colleges. And, on these calls, we will update this every so often. But maybe once again we'll put on the website Lieutenant Colonel Danny Davis and the Democracy Now! Website, because it's very eye-opening to know what's really going on in our name in Afghanistan, and with our money, our tax money. If we have extra time, I would suggest, Virginia, that we go back and see if any other questions, if people have any other questions for Leo.
No, I didn't see any, but if anybody else does, you can unmute and ask that question now.
Robin Horton from Kingston has a question of both Leah and Veterans for Peace and for Progressive Democrats for America.
Okay, go ahead.
The question for both is, what is the reason I'm on this phone call is because we're talking about end wars and occupations and redirect funding. And my question is, what are the positions of both PDA and Veterans for Peace for dealing with the occupation in Palestine and redirecting funds away from Israel to support that carnage?
Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead, Leah.
Yes. Veterans for Peace has been on record for many years as being in support of the Palestinian people, calling for the discontinuation of military support for Israel. We call on Israel to stop using illegal weapons like white phosphorus. We issued statements after the Israeli IDF was responsible for murdering 9 people on the Mavi Marmara. We've been on record for some time as saying that we want our government to disassociate itself with the war mongering and provocative threats that Israel is making towards Iran, and then its longtime relationship with Palestine. We do not see, many years ago, Veterans for Peace was on record as calling for a two-state solution. At last year's convention, we rescinded that resolution, and we went on record as saying that the Palestinian people should decide about their, they should be responsible for determining what kind of government they have. And it is not for Veterans for Peace or any other government to say one state or two state. We see the Palestinians as the victim in this situation, that they are not equal bodies that should sit down to negotiations. What it is one out, overpowering government occupying and violating international law every day. And so it's an issue that's very important to our organization, and we have a long time on record of our support for the people of Palestine.
If I could say, this is Sally, if you are on the chat room, if you were so fortunate as to get there, just to the left of the chat room is PDA's statement on also the two-state solution. But if I may say, this is not the subject for tonight, and I would actually like to ask Leah if VFP, I don't know which thing to choose, but could you say something about veterans' issues? You mentioned suicide.
Excuse me, but
I would assume that there's a lot of veterans at the convention, and
it seems to me that the headline for the PDA announcement that I got on my email talks about come to our call, end wars and occupations, and so are you saying to me that the discussion of Palestine is not part
this
of
is
that,
not
and
the
could you tell
of
me, and can you,
call.
And can you,
not the subject
and can
of tonight's
you,
call, please.
And why would that be?
We have had, this issue has come up, I would say, about a year ago on calls here, and people we have decided that we will take questions on this only if we have this as our subject for tonight, because it's a very heated kind of topic. I certainly have my opinions. I know Virginia does. I know almost all of us. But I'm not going to let you monopolize this evening.
So therefore, the PDA operation has fundamentally been.
I'm not going to let you keep coming back.
It has been infiltrated and compromised to make sure that we do not talk about Palestine and Israel. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to find out on this phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And are there any other veterans issues, Leah, that we should know about?
Well, this is a topic that I often am asked about. And, Veterans for Peace is the only veterans organization which calls for the abolishment of war as an instrument of national policy. And there are hundreds, there are probably thousands, tens of thousands of organizations which are out there to speak about veterans' problems and benefits for veterans and injuries and treatment and VA support and how to fill out the forms and homelessness and all these things. Veterans for Peace believes that every human being has the right to health care, and that veterans are not veterans shouldn't get better health care than the rest of the United States. And I know a PDA slogan is health care, not warfare. That's what we say, you know. And as I said in the supercommittee interruption, that we could have all the health care and housing and education that we want and need if we stop pouring our money into the black hole of the military machine. So there are issues that are sensitive to veterans, but I would ask people, I mean, here's one, PTSD. Here's an issue that is often brought up about veterans, and this important issue, PTSD is an important issue. But there are dozens of groups out there working on PTSD as with regard to soldiers. My question is, who is looking out for how to treat the PTSD of the Afghan, the mother whose child was killed by a drone strike while he was out collecting firewood, or you know, the wedding party that was bombed to death, you know, on their way home. What about their PTSD? And what about their injuries? What about their traumatic brain injuries that we're so worried about here in the United States? So Veterans for Peace wants everybody to have health care. Veterans for Peace wants no one to suffer from PTSD. Veterans for Peace wants everyone to have education, not just veterans. We want everybody to be employed. We want nobody homeless. And I really try to get people to think about these issues not as veterans' issues, but as human issues that we need to focus more on the humanity, not just on veterans. And so we have some members, especially I think we have some older members that see us as kind of a nicer version of the American Legion or whatever, but that's it's really not what we do. And we, in particular, at this convention, have decided to focus our energies more on raising the voice of veterans to speak out and use our unique cachet or panache or whatever on these issues to raise our voices and speak out against the horrors of war, not just the horrors for Americans. So I hope that answers your question.
It does, and it's an absolutely beautiful statement in several directions. Thank you.
So thank you so much, Leah. We're getting close to the end of our call. Sally, did you want to say anything else on the drones, what's going on in Western Massachusetts?
I think probably in Western Massachusetts we're not as far enough along to say a whole lot. But we are taking up an issue against a military-industrial complex kind of outfit that is working on drones, and I hope it will be a kind of template for others when we're farther along.
Okay. There is a person on the chat room that did have a question for Leah regarding, is there a relationship between VFP and IVAW?
Yes. Right. IVAW was sort of born out of a VFP convention in Boston, and we were their fiscal sponsors for several years and helped them get their feet on the ground. Now they are independent of us. They have their own charter and their own structure, their own board of directors and staff. We still work with them, like at the NATO summit. We work together on actions like that where we try to reinforce each other's position. I think IVAW, when I said VFP is the only veterans organization calling for an end to war, people say, well, what about IVAW? IVAW has a very much narrower position on war. They are, they are obviously opposed to the war in Iraq. And it took some discussion and debate before amongst their membership before they came out with a statement in opposition to the war in Afghanistan. And you may remember that Lieutenant Aaron Watada at the Veterans for Peace National Convention in 2006 spoke, and he was backed by dozens of IVAW members at that convention, And in fact, Aaron Latata got a few more charges added to the slate of charges against him for speaking at that convention. But Aaron Latata was willing to go to Afghanistan. He did not want to go to Iraq, but he was willing to go to Afghanistan. So this issue of opposing all war is not part of the IVAW platform. They have not issued, as far as I know, a statement against war on Iran, for instance. So Veterans for Peace is the only organization that opposes all war, and we work really hard to try to make that come reality. But we do work with IVAW, and there were several IVAW members at our convention.
Thank you for the answer.
Okay. Thank you, Leah. We appreciate your being with us, and look forward to working with you in the future, and I look forward to seeing you out in the streets.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I apologize for my scratchy voice and sneezing and blowing my nose. That's very rude, but it was my pleasure talking with you all, and I'm sure that I will see you on the streets or on the Internet or on a conference call very soon.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, the call is just about over. Our kitchen cabinet team does stay on the line afterwards if anybody does want to speak to us after the call's over. And if there's no more questions, we'll say good night and thank you to Leah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Covered a lot. So Sally in Virginia was